it's been back in Manitoba many moons ago.
Gordon Goldsborough joins us now for this week's Abandoned Manitoba. Good morning, Gordon.
Good morning, Nadia.
So what are we discussing today?
Well, every so often here on Abandoned Manitoba, I present updates on topics we've talked about in the past. The last time we did this was back in April, 6 months ago. So we have a lot to discuss this morning.
All right, where do we start?
Well, let's start with buildings that have been demolished since we talked about them. Back in September of 2018, 6 years ago, we talked about granaries, or some people pronounce it granaries, cylindrical structures made of corrugated steel used for storing grain. Now, a mile and a half north of Manitou on Highway 244, there was a building constructed by two brothers, Garth and Larry Curry, both now deceased, and they'd assembled steel granaries there. 1978, the Curry brothers made so many steel granaries that they were among the top five sellers in all of Canada. The business ended around 1988. I was never able to determine exactly when, and the building stood empty for over 30 years. Well, back in May, as I was driving into Manitou, I noticed the Curry brothers building is now gone. Meanwhile, another demolition occurred recently at Barnsley.
Where exactly is Barnsley?
Well, you'd be excused for not knowing. It is not a large place. In fact, I don't even know if it's actually a town. It's probably more of a railway siding, located 5 miles due north of Carman. At one time, Barnsley had two grain elevators, so it was, you know, kind of a big thing. And we talked about one of those grain elevators back in November of 2019. But I have to be honest, I did not disclose its location at the time. I didn't say the elevator at Barnsley.
How come?
Well, because our subject was a little sensitive. I was talking about swastikas, of course, what are widely viewed as a symbol of Nazism, that appeared in at least three Manitoba buildings. Now, two of those buildings were inside, you know, secured places, so I wasn't too worried about them. But one of them that was inside this grain elevator at Barnsley was completely unprotected, and I worried that if I divulged its location, it might have, well, let's just say undesired consequences for the owner of that elevator. Well, to this day, I still don't know why the swastika was there, but I don't think it suggested any affinity of the owner for Nazism. In fact, I think it was probably related to the interests of the guy who built the structure in the first place going way, way back. The elevator, though, was demolished in August, so there's no longer a concern. The swastika, I assume, is gone. The elevator had been pretty severely deteriorated, and so its demolition was, I think, appropriate. Even though it does decrease by one my count of surviving wooden elevators.
So what's your current count today?
Well, remember, we had over 700 elevators at one time in Manitoba. There are presently 117 left. And I know that still sounds like a pretty big number, but as I've pointed out before, the majority of these elevators are not in use and are therefore at risk. To my knowledge, Barnsley is the only elevator to come down this year, 2024, but I expect we're going to hear about many more old elevators being demolished in the next few years. And in fact, I have heard rumors that the elevator at Kane may not be long for this world.
Oof. Any more demolitions to report?
Well, a couple of weeks ago, as I was driving along Ellis Avenue here in Winnipeg, I noticed that a former Salisbury House restaurant was gone. We talked about the Salisbury House chain here in August 2023. And in fact, that particular Sal's is quite noteworthy. It opened in 1954 as the chain's very first drive-in restaurant with car hop service, which in the time, the mid-50s, was a real innovation. That restaurant closed in early 2020. I think it was a victim of the COVID pandemic, and the demolition seems to have happened sometime between 2022 and mid-2024, but I don't know exactly when.
Is that it? No more demolitions?
Well, I'm afraid there is still more. Just about a year ago, I spoke here about heritage objects. Those are things other than buildings that are designated as historically significant by the provincial government. I'm sorry to report that there has been a 50% decrease in the number of heritage objects since July. And I'm referring to the loss of the Skippy L, a transport ship built in 1936 that once plied the waters of the Saskatchewan River and Cedar and Moose Lakes. It was taken out of service in 1977 as the last surviving riverboat in the region, and then the Skippy L sat on land, well, basically ever since. It underwent a complete restoration in 1989, but it fell on hard times, and it was looking pretty shabby when I saw it. So in July this past year, the town of La Pot demolished it. And I said there'd been a 50% decrease because there was, well, really only two, and so that means there's now just one designated heritage object in Manitoba. That's the statue of Timothy Eaton in Winnipeg's downtown arena.
Any positive news, Gordon?
Well, you know, when you talk about abandonment, you just have to accept that there's going to be a lot of bad news. But yes, there is some good news, I think. 5 weeks ago, I talked about 7 8-sided buildings around Manitoba. I was really hoping to find 8, but I just couldn't manage getting an 8th one. So I asked our listeners to let me know if there were others. Well, they answered. I heard from Marlene Perrin, who advised that there is an octagonal residence that overlooks either Lorne Lake or Louise Lake. They're close together, and she wasn't quite sure which. They're both in southwestern Manitoba, and this particular residence was built in the early 1970s for Dr. David Stewart, a well-known physician now deceased. And I actually knew Dr. Stewart in the day. I didn't know that he lived in an octagonal house. Another listener, Karen Asmundson, told me about another octagonal building north of Neepawa at the corner of Highways 5 and 265. Now, I cannot confirm that these two exist. I haven't been there to check either one, but be assured I will. And then there's more good news. In Verdun, we have the absolutely wonderful auditorium that dates from 1912. I mentioned it during our walking tour of Verdun back in February. Well, it's getting new seats, and I got to see the odd before that occurred, thanks to listener Terry Johnson of Verdun. I walked around inside the odd. I mean, it is spectacularly beautiful. You know, Western Manitoba is so lucky to have such a wonderful performing arts space, and it's going to look even better with its improved seating. And I have two more updates to share, the first relating to our episode 3 weeks ago.
And that was the one where you spoke with Bruce about fatalities during the world wars that occurred here in Manitoba.
Yes. And then soon after the broadcast, listener Doug Pratt emailed me to tell about a plane crash that had occurred in the eastern part of Riding Mountain National Park in April of 1944. It wasn't very far from a training facility, and so it was a training flight that went down. Unfortunately, the pilot was killed, but his three passengers survived and were able to walk to safety. Of course, that does mean then that it's a home front fatality that I want to keep in my accounting. The fuselage of that plane is still at the crash site, and I'm told there's a walking trail to it along with a commemorative sign beside the wreck. And that so therefore means that I'm going to have to go and visit it one of these days.
Now, last week you told Bruce that there was going to be an update relating to an unusual street name. What's that about?
Right. This is another update provided by listener Doug Pratt. He contacted me earlier this year after we had talked about some street names in Portage la Prairie and Brandon and the basis for them. You know, why was a particular street named as it was? This fascinates me because the names are often so poorly documented by the municipalities in which they exist. If you go into the municipal office and say, why is such and such street named as it is? And they go, we don't know. Well, Doug offered several unusual street names. He didn't offer the basis for them, though, but I will talk about that briefly. Among the ones he suggested was Skinny Dip Drive, near the narrows of Lake Manitoba. And, of course, it's beside a lake. I guess there have been people that have gone skinny dipping. And then here in Winnipeg, in the southern part of the city, there is Easy Street. I'm assuming that it's fairly affluent, and people there are living on Easy Street. But the strangest, both Doug and I agree, is a street in the village of Balmoral, north of Winnipeg. It's called Macon Bacon Drive. Now, if one consults the online Urban Dictionary, this phrase can be a reference to sexual intercourse. And boy, if that were the case, I would have to wonder what they were thinking, those raunchy folks in Balmoral. But it also could refer to sumptuous homes, you know, that somebody has made the bacon. You know, they've brought in lots of wealth, and therefore they are showing it by building sumptuous homes. And I'd like to think maybe that's the explanation. But I actually have a friend who lives near Balmoral, And he informed me that the name actually refers to a well-known pig farmer who used to live near the street. And if you're growing pigs, you are, in effect, making bacon. So there you go.
Speechless, really, but really love that you consulted the Urban Dictionary for one episode of Abandoned Manitoba.
Well, you know, it's actually a reflection of where my mind goes, I guess, because when Doug first mentioned it, I went, what the heck are they thinking about there in Balmoral? But it turns out there are more possibilities than where my mind first went. But, you know, we have all kinds of updates, and, you know, I'm always receptive to those. So if any of our listeners ever have any kind of updates to share, please get in touch with me.
Where do we go from Macon Bacon Drive, Gordon? What's up for next week?
Well, our theme is going to be a classic misquotation from a movie based on Canadian novelist W.P. Kinsella's book, Shoeless Joe. That line is, if you build it, they will come.
Gordon, thanks so much.
See you next week. Bye-bye for now.
No matter where I go, every time the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba. Many moons ago.